I so much appreciate your leadership in worship, and thank you so much.
And it is that. This evening, turn with me again, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Outlines in the back if you need them, and we start this evening in the preparation for God's final judgment. You know, what's interesting with this is we go back a little bit, not too far, but go back with me to chapter 6, if you will, please. This is in the early part of the tribulation. It's some years before what we see happening here. It's the beginning of God's judgment, the preparatory judgment of God. There are three sets of judgments, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. Okay, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. The last seal, the seventh seal, opens up all of the trumpets and then all of the bowls. The last trumpet opens up all of the bowls. So the seven bowls are a part of the seventh trumpet, and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls are a part of the opening of the last seal. Well, it's interesting that in the opening of the original seals, you'll notice what we have in chapter 6. We have, first of all, when the Lamb broke the first seal, four living creatures saying, come, and I looked, and a white horse came, and then the second I heard a red horse, verse 4, came. And then we move down further in verse 5, a black horse came, and then further in verse 8, an ashen horse. And so we see in every one of the first four seals something happening like that, a horse coming, judgment coming, whatever. But now when the fifth seal is broken in verse 9, it isn't that. There's something different. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren were to be killed, even as they had been, should be completed. You know, it's interesting because we want to wait for the last soul to come to Christ before the Lord comes back. God is saying here, I want to wait for the last Christian to be killed before. That's an amazing thing. The number has to be completed. And finally, tonight, it is completed. That is a praise of that part. You start in chapter 6 saying, Lord, how long? And that's all there is in the fifth seal. And then we come here now to this part, and we're going to see the answer tonight. How long? It's going to come. The praise is going to come. The long wait is over. Then after the seventh seal is broken, nothing happens. In fact, we see in chapter 8, verse 1, see, the seventh seal contains all of the future judgments, all of the trumpet judgments, and therefore all of the bowl judgments. And when he broke the seventh seal in chapter 8, verse 1, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Basically because of the awesome judgment that was yet to come, because at each level the judgment increases. Well, it is interesting because the trumpets are blown, and first of all the first trumpet's blown, and the seven angels prepare themselves. The first trumpet sounds in verse 7, second trumpet in verse 8, the third trumpet in verse 10, the fourth trumpet in verse 12, and now there are three more to go. And so verse 13, I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So the three angels yet to go, but these three angels are unique because they have woe, woe, woe. And the woe is showing the intensity of the judgment that's coming. So the first one is the fifth angel sounds in chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. And the statement is made in verse 12, the first woe is past. So one woe is done. Two woes are still coming, it says. Then the sixth angel sounds. And all the way over in chapter 11 and verse 14 we read, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. The third woe is the final judgment, trumpet judgment, which, if you will, contains all of the bowl judgments. So as soon as this is going to happen, there is now, instead of silence in heaven, there is a loud voice in heaven, verse 15, because they sense that the end is about to come. And they cry out, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. He will reign forever and ever. Now, has that happened yet? No. But they're anticipating it because they know the end is near. And so they begin to sing this glorious song of praise to God. And then they say in verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God. And I want you to notice the title, the Almighty, because it comes up again tonight. Who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. And by the way, notice something in verse 19 of chapter 11. The temple of God which is in heaven was open, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. There were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and earthquake and great hailstorm. Notice the temple of God is opened. The same phrase is going to be found tonight. Well, we're ready. Lord, you know, blow this thing, okay, let's get this thing on. But no, we can't blow it yet, he says. I've got to tell you about some people, first of all, about Satan, chapter 12, about the two beasts, chapter 13. I have to tell you about them. I have to tell you about the 144,000 in chapter 14 and of the unbelievable blessing of the hope that is there is that after they go through this incredible time of persecution, they're going to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. And there's going to be a song sung to them from heaven that only they can begin to understand. And so we have a statement in chapter 14 of all the things to look forward to in anticipation of what God's going to do as a result of this final judgment. And then comes chapter 15. With this background, we know the trumpet's about to blow. We know that these bowls are about to be poured out. And so now we start into chapter 15 and we see the statement that's made here. And I saw another sign in heaven. Interesting, another, basically, if you will, of the same kind of sign. And this takes us back, if you will, to chapter 12, where we have another sign in heaven that is there. And so this is another sign that is given. The sign there, of course, having to do with Satan and having to do with the child. But here we have another sign given. And notice with the sign, it's a great and marvelous sign. Seven angels who have seven plagues. This is a marvelous sign. I mean, you think it's a terrible sign, but it's a marvelous sign. It's a marvelous sign. These seven angels who have seven plagues, which, notice if you want to hear, which is interesting, because it says, notice, these are seven angels, right? Notice, having the seven plagues, but notice, if you will, the plagues, seven plagues, and notice the last. This is it. There is nothing after this. And it's interesting, he puts us in here in that position at the very end because this is it. We're through, friends. The judgment is over. God judges no more. This is the last. And the reason why this is the last is because in them, God's wrath is finished. God's wrath has come in these angels to its point of completion. So this is exciting because we're coming to the end of it all. It is a marvelous, marvelous thing, and this brings us to the very end of God's judgment upon the earth. By the way, it's interesting as we come to this judgment of God, and it is done here, it says having the seven plagues. As you look at the plagues that follow, we'll look at them next week, not this week, they are very, very similar in many respects to the, well, if you look at them, five of the plagues recall five of the 10 Egyptian plagues. Now, it's interesting because if you look at, we'll look at the Greek text in a moment, but if you look at your English text, see, what did they sing? They sang in verse 3, the Song of Moses. This harkens back to the deliverance from Egypt, but this is a far greater deliverance. But it's amazing. And it's a Song of Moses. They sing, we'll talk about that. You want to talk about the selflessness of these people. I mean, there's some tremendous truths in here as we look at this evening. But just as you look at this word plague, 15 times in the book of Revelation, and every time it has this eschatological sense, a sense of what God's going to do in the end time. And as you look at this thing, it's a duty of these angels to bring it. And like I say, the features are so much like what you have in the Exodus. You have the Song of Moses in verse 3. Notice, if you will, in verse 8 of this same section, that this, when this is given. Oh, I'll do it. Somebody read verse 8 for me. Fine, okay. Noah's temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Reminds you again of what took place. And then there's the erection of the testimony, if you will, in verse 5. It talks about these things, how the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open. And by the way, same thing, we had the temple open back there, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony was open here. So anyhow, many things that make this similar to that. And let me tell you the relationship between this and that. Number one, that was the punishment of the nation Egypt, right? Or the opponents of God's people, the deliverance of God's people. Hear the same thing. It's not the punishment of Egypt, it's the punishment of those nations and those peoples, and basically three groups in this passage are identified. As we look at it, three groups are identified. Notice, if you will, in verse 2, the beast, his image, and the number of his name. Those are the three things that are overcome. God's deliverance from the beast, God's deliverance from the image of the beast, and God's deliverance from the number of his name. So it is in this thing much like what you have in the Old Testament. It is the judgment of those who are against the people of God, and it is the deliverance of the people of God. So very many similarities between this and that. So, and as you look at this again, just to understand that the venting of God's wrath is over with. And by the way, the word again is this, okay? Not the word that is found elsewhere. It's the word that we even saw last time, that is used with regard to the evil one, who is called passion in there. Here it is called the wrath of God. This is the venting of God's orge, if you will. Orge is the other word for wrath. This is the venting of it. This is where God vents his wrath. The wrath of God, the orge, is his attitude towards sin. What we find here is the venting of that orge, if you will, as God vents his wrath upon man. So this is it, the finality, the finishing of the wrath of God, the apex of it, the climax of it. And by the way, we have other judgments that came before. You know, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments. All of those were preparatory, and all of those were warning judgments to warn people, to bring them to repentance. Friend, this is it. These are not warning judgments. These are the final judgments of God upon sin. It is the most awesome outpouring of God's judgment ever. In light of this, something interesting happens. Verse 2. Notice we find in verse 2. It's interesting because now, if you're going to have wrath like this, notice how many times we've got singing in light of the in connection with these seven last plagues. We had the singing in heaven, the rejoicing in heaven in chapter 11 when it was first announced. Now we have praise again. And a song comes out. And notice, if you will, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. We've seen this sea of glass before, haven't we? Huh? Saw it earlier. And there it talked about the fact that God was in his majesty, in his splendor, and if you will, even separated from the people because of his majesty and his splendor. But what is distinguishing this one from that is what? You notice that here, this thing is not there. It seemed like just a very nice, calm thing, but this is in a state of having been mixed with fire. Again, the judgment of God is evident as you look at this that is there, this sea of glass that is there. The judgment of God is going to materialize, and that is why it is as mixed with fire. And by the way, it's interesting because you have the overcomers here that are mentioned. It says, number the standing, and they sang the songs of the bonds. Well, let us go. Notice, those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his image. Here we find it. This is what those who overcame. Notice there are three things they overcame from, and there are three words out of. See, ek, ek, ek. Out of the beast, out of the image of him, and out of the number of his name. Those are the three things they overcame. They overcame the beast, they overcame his image, and they overcame his name, the number of his name. And now tell me what the issue was with that. Why? What's the issue of the image, and what's the issue of his name? What's the issue of the beast? They built the image, and what happened? The second beast asked everybody to what? Worship the image, right? And then, of course, you have the number of his name. If, in fact, you worship the beast, You have the pleasure of the government, right? If you put the number of his name on, you have the pleasure of the government. Those who are willing to decry whatever came, okay, from this and say, you know what, we're not going to submit to the beast, we're not going to worship his image, we're not going to bear the number of his name, these are going to be victorious over that. But a great price, incredible, incredible, incredible price. So what happens is, this is the setting, they are... These are the overcomers, these are the ones who overcame these three things, and they're standing on the sea of glass, and they're having the harps of God. By the way, just for free, there are only two instruments mentioned in the book of Revelation, huh? Trumpets and harps. I don't know what that says, but that's what it is. And these people are there with the harps of God. They are going to sing and worship to God. Now notice what happens. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. By the way, it is no big deal. A question of there are two separate songs or one song. My suggestion is there are two songs, but that's not even so interesting, it's so important. Except it is interesting, why the song of Moses? Why didn't they sing the song of their own redemption? Why didn't they sing the song of their own story? You know, it is an amazing truth. They don't just pass over this and miss it. They sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb. See, they understood that their suffering was very, you know, very minor in the overall plan of God. They began to understand their suffering in light of the overall suffering and deliverance of God that God had begun way back in Egypt and God was going to fulfill at this point in time. And they began to see the overall picture, and they lost sight of their own suffering in the midst of God's eternal plan. You know what? Sometimes it would do us well to somehow lose sight of our own suffering in light of God's overall plan. And you see, it wasn't the song of their deliverance they sang. They saw a greater message to this. They saw a greater deliverance to this. They saw a greater work of God to this than their own personal deliverance. What an amazing truth. These people will suffer more than any believers have ever suffered on earth. And yet the focus will not be on themselves. They will see the overall plan of God and redemption that began in Egypt. And by the way, isn't that beautiful? When the deliverance began in Egypt, it was associated with the Lamb. When the deliverance happens here, it's associated with the Lamb. And this Lamb will bring the ultimate deliverance to the people of God. And they will never undergo oppression ever again, ever, ever, ever again. This is it. We're coming at this point to the final working of God of deliverance. And as it happened through the Lamb in Egypt, so it's going to happen through the Lamb again. And this will be the ultimate final victory. And it's beautiful to see the selflessness of these people. They sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and they sang the song of the Lamb. By the way, they are two separate songs, but you see they're so blended together because it is the deliverance of the Lamb, of which, of course, the original Lamb, to which the original Lamb pointed, was it not, right? The Lamb that they sacrificed in Egypt was pointing the way to the Lamb that was yet to come. And such a beautiful thought that when they will sing this song, it will be the song of deliverance and the song of the Lamb. So they'll sing a song. Notice the song. As you look at this song, it again just evokes praise to God. And it is a great, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God the Almighty. The Almighty, we saw just a few chapters back again, the title given to God, and they're going to sing great and marvelous. So it again just comes to honor him. Does it not impress you as you go through this book, the songs of Revelation? I heard a message on this years ago, and it was a boring message. Okay, it was. Gotta tell you, it was. It was a pastor who had blessed my heart a lot because, not because he was a great preacher, but because he was my high school pastor. And meant a lot to me, did. And so when we were back on our way to Africa, actually, I took my wife to hear him preach for the first time for her. And it was Sunday night, and he was preaching on the songs of Revelation. And it just didn't have a whole bunch to it. But we went through the whole book. But you know what? As I go through this book this time, I tell you what, I hope this isn't boring to you, because I'm getting excited. I just watch all of these songs that keep coming over and over again just to worship, 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 worship. Every time something happens, they just sing songs of worship. Trouble's going to come? Worship. No trouble happening? Worship. Everything's worship. And you know, they're worshiping, and they only leave for a while to go do something else, and they come back to worship again. And by the way, it is interesting, as anyhow, they sing this song of worship. And they sang the song, "Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, thou King of the nations." What an awesome statement. He is the King of the nations. You know what? He is not going to be. He is. His rulership will yet be seen, but he is the King of the nations. What a song. O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are thy ways, and they are. His judgments are always righteous. His judgments are always true. He is the King of the nations. He will one day prove that he's king. They question it now. I hope you don't question it now. I hope in your prayers you don't question the fact he's the King of the nations. He is the King of Russia. He is the King of Macedonia. He's the King of Mozambique. He's the King of the United States. He's the King of the Ukraine, huh? He's the King of the nations. Now, you know, he will one day show himself to be who he is, but he is the King of the nations. And right now they're beginning to see it's almost going to be, and he's going to manifest himself in that way. And then notice what happens. There are questions that are asked. And the answer is a rhetorical question. The answer is no one. Who will not fear, O Lord? Who will not glorify your name? You know what? They are going to fear. They're going to glorify God's name. Why? Because he says in the latter part of this, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. And so it's exciting as you look at this business, because the reason why they're going to do it is they're going to do it for three reasons. For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. Let me just talk about, first of all, the one part of this that talks about, for thy name is holy. This is not, by the way, this is not the normal word for holy. Okay? It is not the normal word for holy. Let me get it up here, if I have it here. Oh, it's up here. No, it's not. Here we go. I need the next sheet here. All right, there we go. The normal word for holy is not the word that's found here, okay? But the word that is found here is talking about God in his sacred character, not his sinlessness. It's not the sinlessness of God that's mentioned here, okay? It's a sacred character and a separation from all other created beings. And again, it's interesting, because is it not when it is that it's you alone, manas or hasios. You alone are separated from all. You alone are sacred. Not sinless, mind you. Sacred and set apart, this one is. Notice, because all nations will come and they will worship before thee. Why? Because your righteous acts were made manifest. And so they're going to worship. They're worshiping God. Why? Because of that which God is going to do. Now quickly go with me as we conclude this passage. And notice what happens. After these things I look. See, they're praising God. By the way, they're praising God in faith, believing what God is going to do. And now he does it. After these things I looked. And whenever you see this phrase, just told me it here. Whenever you see that phrase up there, metatauta edon, after these things I saw, it introduces something which is very special, separated from everything that precedes. And what this is the pouring out of the bold judgments, and this is very spectacular and very unique, and that's why it is introduced by this statement. It is also a chronological progression. I saw the temple of the tabernacle was open. We saw the temple open before. This is the temple of the tabernacle open, and the testimony, temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was open. And what happens when this is open? Look what happens. Now what was predicted in chapter 1 is going to happen. We see coming out of this temple these seven angels who have gone out, who have the seven plagues. They're going out of the temple clothed in linen pure and shining. By the way, let me stop with that. You saw clothed in pure and shining linen before, and it was whom? It was Christ. His angels who go forth now are going forth in his righteousness to bring his righteous judgment upon the earth, and they go forth as he went forth in their purity to do this. But notice something else here. They're going forth out of the temple. Did we not see in the way back when in chapter 4, right? We saw the temple, did we not? And we saw the one sitting on the throne, right? Heaven was open, we saw the throne, right? And we saw the one sitting on the throne, and then we saw the Lamb sitting next to him. We said in chapters 4 and 5, the focal point of this whole book is that everything that happens in heaven and earth emanates from where? It emanates from the throne of God in heaven. You see, when you look at this, it's just telling us, okay, this is not coming out of somewhere else. It's coming out of the throne of God himself, out of the temple of God itself, in heaven itself. And by the way, this is the true temple, not the one on earth, which is reflecting that one's yet to come. And so here go these angels, seven angels. So the first thing we see the heavens open, we see the seven angels, then notice what happens. Interesting what we find here is because, notice, last time there was this kind of singing before the throne, there were the four living beings, and now notice what we have. We have in one of the four living beings, remember the song of chapter 4, the first song was the four living beings, the second song was the 24 elders, the third song was the four living beings and the 24 elders. Here, one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven bowls full of wrath. These bowls are not deep bowls kind of stuff, but they're there and they're full to the top of the wrath of God who is living forever and ever. And it is one of these four living beings who is doing it, giving to this. And by the way, we said it at that time. We saw the four living beings and you saw the 24 elders. They were angelic beings who were in places of leadership in heaven. And here you have this happening. One of them gives this to him. And now notice what happens. And this is the glorious part of this as it precedes what happens next week. And the temple was filled with smoke out of the glory of God and out of his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until, I put it in purpose in this way, until was completed the seven plagues of the seven angels. Do you remember when the temple, you remember when Moses finished the tabernacle? Huh? It was filled with the glory of God, no one could go near. When Solomon finished building his temple, it was filled with the glory of God, no one could go near. My friend, when this happens, the smoke will come out of the glory of God and out of his power, and no one will be able to enter until the seven plagues are completed. The glory and the power of God are going to be manifested in the judgment of sin upon the earth. The question comes in chapter 6, Lord, how long? He says, you got to wait a while. But now he says, it's almost here. And they sing praises to God because the glory of God and the power of God is about to be revealed in the judgment of God upon sin. We consider time like this. I think we tend to do that at times. Lord, how long? My friend, what we go through is so minor compared to anything that the people of God who truly suffer have gone through. And we ask that question of God. I tell you something that's exciting because it's probably not far away. Who can set a date? We can't set dates, but I'll tell you why. Don't think it's far, and it may be at any time. I mean, so much is prepared for that, but anyhow, and by the way, just remind you, there is nothing that has to happen before he can come back. There is nothing that has had to happen before he can come back. People say, well, this has happened. My friend, nothing has to happen. His coming has been imminent from day one. He can come at any time. But the days are close. But it's exciting here because going through the whole book, we're almost there. But we can't get there until the final judgments are poured out in chapter 16. And then it's evidenced again in chapter 17 and 18. And then 19, he comes. So a few weeks and we'll be there. All right, prayer requests. How can we pray for you this week? How in the world can we pray for you? We want to pray for you this week. Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to pray for my coworker, Julie. I was carpooling with her, and I was going to be having some opportunities to share with her, and I did. I think she thinks she's saved, but I think that's a Catholic thing. And she's sending her son to a Catholic school because she likes the discipline and all of the good structure type of things that they have there. And I had a chance to share with her about Revelation and things like that. She wanted to know how the world was going to end or whether it was going to end and all kinds of things like that. And so she's really interested in the book, so I'm thinking maybe I'll be able to you know, share some sermon tapes or something like that with her. I haven't had any chances to really share with her since then, but I'm looking forward to that because I have to carpool her with her again this week. So just for continued opportunities to share with her and that she'll be interested in it. Hopefully I haven't turned her off to it by saying something offhand that just sets her off or something. But just that she'll be open to it and she'll be interested in hearing about it. And I don't know, that the Lord will be working on her.
I'm glad we concentrated on that, but now let me ask you, how are you feeling? You came out all right? I mean, you're feeling okay yourself?
Pretty, kind of okay. I'm not sure. I've been having some dizzy spells.
Okay.
And hot flashes. I think I'm having one now. I'm not sure. but mostly just mood swings and trying to control those. Little things are just will easily set me off, so I have to be really cautious about that sort of thing, how I respond. So I don't know. I'm going to call the doctor and see if maybe I'm just not coming down with a cold or something, or if it's just the medicine. But I don't know.
We're talking about 4.5 more months of this, or
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, 2 shots down.
That's what I thought.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praying with you.
Okay.
6 months. Yes.
I'm a spokesperson for my neighbor here, Cheryl, who doesn't want to speak up, but she needs prayer tonight. Things are very tough right now.
And you know that you continuously have our prayers. Okay. Praying for you.
Pray for my dad. He's got the shingles right now.
Back there, I'm coming.
I had mentioned to everyone before about my mom and my dad and my sister and my brother-in-law. I'm sorry, my brother and my sister-in-law. About them getting a divorce, and that's what they're going through right now. And they have 3 little children that are a little confused about things because of their dad living with somebody else and their mom having people come live in, stay with her and stuff. And my mom and my dad are doing a little better because my dad's getting back in church, and so that's helping. But Lance and I are going home for Thanksgiving, and my sister and my brother-in-law, I have a brother and a sister, and they're both married, so they just all need prayer. I think my sister said she had been saved but never has done anything to show it. And my brother-in-law is not saved. And so we just really want to just be used of God when we go there. And I'd appreciate if everyone would start praying right now just to pray for us and pray for them.
You bet. Down that way. By the way, remember, too, we're praying for that Luisa. Is going down to Mexico City to be with her family December 19th through into January, I believe, the 5th. 2 weeks. She is going to be sharing with her unsaved family down there in Mexico, and so is asking for prayer for her. She is not that old in the Lord,
And God has blessed us with having her come to this fellowship. She lives right nearby here, so pray for her as you remember. December 19th, she goes down to Mexico City. We'll be with her unsafe family during that time, and as we pray for you guys as well over Thanksgiving. Yes.
Appreciate continued prayer for my family. My dad is getting real close. He's down below 100 pounds, and he can only say like one word at a time now. So he is, he's close. He hasn't eaten in a couple weeks. He hasn't drank anything in a few days. The nurse Friday said that when he's at this, she's gone through this with a lot of people, the hospice nurse, and she said the stage he is at, or started Friday, she said they usually last 3 or 4 days. The longest she knows of anybody lasts a week, so sometime this week he's going to go home to be with the Lord. He doesn't understand why God hasn't taken him. It's like, Lord, any time now. And my mom is having, we thought she was doing pretty well, but she said she's having a tough time letting him go. And she feels sort of responsible because it's like maybe God hasn't taken him because he's waiting for me to be ready. And so just prayer for my mom. It's hard for her there. He's not sleeping, so they've got somebody with him 24 hours. My brother said in the last couple of days he's only slept about an hour. So he's conscious. He's kind of in and out of consciousness and all that. But so just prayer for my family. Prayer for wisdom for us to know what to do and when and all that. And for strength, and that's draining.
Down the road.
Praise and a prayer. My dad's secretary, his name is Peggy, and she's born and raised in the Catholic Church, and my dad's been witnessing to her for the past 2 years, and this week he got very bold and invited her to go with him to this conference. Well, her foundation was rocked, and she is completely she's removed herself from the Catholic churches. He said, there's no need to go back there now. Where do I go? What do I do? She's heard the gospel. I don't think she's made a decision, but she is desiring to find a church. And in lieu of going to my dad's church, which, would be her boss's church, she would like to come here. So she had a commitment this morning that she couldn't come. But my dad and I and so forth will be encouraging to come here, and she wants to go because she's looking for a good church, and she's looking for someone who's going to preach the Bible. So you'll be remembering Peggy in your prayers.
Okay. Back to back, if you can pass it way back there, and we'll bring it up here.
Well, you guys can just, if you think of it, be praying. Something to praise God, which we've been praying for, is I got offered a job on Saturday. Something that's going to hopefully work out with school and be more money and that kind of thing. But that also means I'm leaving my current job. And they're all unsaved. And I've been there about a year and a half, and I've been working with them and sharing the gospel with them. And it's just a wake-up call for me to realize that every moment is precious, to share the gospel with them and to take the most of the opportunities that God gives. And it's a reminder to me too that everywhere I work, every day I should work as if that day was my last time with them. They need Christ. And even in the light of tonight, like what you're saying, at any moment, if I knew that Christ were to come back tonight, what would I do? Would there be anything that I had left unfinished that I would want to do? And so I want to live every day in light of that. And I also want to work every day in light of the fact that I'm really the only one there that can share the gospel with them. So that's something you can pray for me on. It's about 2 weeks.
Justin, how much long do you have on this job?
About 2 weeks. I'm going to give them two weeks notice tomorrow. And about 2 weeks.
We'll pray for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Up here, let's see, way up here. If you can bring it straight up. You got it. Okay, back there. You got it. Let's go. Back there. You got it. Lisa,
I forgot to mention the chiropractor's name. If you'd be praying for him, his name is Min, M-I-N. And his last name is Park.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead.
Yes. You guys have been praying for, I don't know if you remember, but a long time ago, we asked you to pray for our neighbor, Bernadine.
Yep.
And she was the one that was in the Baha'i faith. And, well, we had some tremendous opportunities to share Christ with her. And we had an opportunity. She came to church. I think a few of you guys saw her. She came, and she loved it. But, you know, I think that they love every religion, so it's sort of hard to say. And then that week we were able to go to, she wanted us to come to this discussion group for her religion. So, you know, we knew that nothing would really be accomplished by going, but we just thought maybe it would be an opportunity to build more of a relationship with her. And so it was interesting. We definitely had an opportunity to share the gospel with there was a couple of leaders there from their faith, and you know, and it didn't end, you know, the greatest, but it's sort of, you know, that those things aren't going to really, you know, they're already stuck in their religion, but we were praying for them anyways. And you can just keep praying for her, because I haven't had a lot of opportunities to see her, because she lives across from us in a different building, and so I just want to keep building that relationship, you know. And so just keep praying for Bernadine.
That was a Baha'i or something like that?
Yeah, Baha'i.
Yes, I thought, okay. Right up here to Mrs. Hammer, and then we'll bring it up to Kim after that. If you will, thank you.
I have felt impressed of the Lord to do something in my neighborhood, and I think I have decided to do a Christmas tea for the people of my street. There are about, under 18 homes, I guess. Anyway, and the best time to do it would be that first Saturday of December. So I'm going to miss our tea here, I'm sorry to say. But I don't know if anybody will come. I don't know what will happen, but I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. And after that, then possibly that could lead into a Bible study. So I have a lot of work to try to plan it, and I'm going to go hopefully deliver the invitations personally, because I don't really know all the people in the street. And so I would just like the Lord to direct in all of this and be able to share the gospel however I can do that.
We will pray to that end. That's exciting. Yes.
Just for my family, my mom came home from the hospital yesterday after having complete knee reconstruction. And now today my dad is not feeling good, and he is asking to go to the doctor. And my father never asked to go to the doctor. Of course, I'm kind of thinking that it's because he knows he has to take care of my mom. So he thinks he's sick. But I don't know. But anyway.
Now, be careful about judging motive, but go ahead. Yes, yes, okay.
I know.
All right.
Anyway, so he's asking me to go to the doctor, and he thinks he, like, has cancer or something, because he had it before. And then my brother, who is a Christian, has a herniated disc and is going to have surgery in the next couple of weeks. And then my brother, who is not saved, his mother-in-law, they just found out, has terminal cancer and has only been given probably 6 months. And him and his wife kind of have a rocky marriage to begin with. And his wife is just really flipping out over the fact that she may lose her mom real soon. So just pray for all of them. Of course, I want salvation for them, but just that God's going to really do a mighty, mighty work in all of this. But also just what my part is. How much do I spend with my dad? How much do I spend with my mom? What do I need to do for both of my brothers? So just a lot in the next month or so.
Constant burden for you with the unsaved members of your family, and especially your folks like that, your dad, yeah. So we need to pray with you.
Yeah, because he's 80, so his time is going. Yeah. He really should be dead. I mean, for being an alcoholic and having smoked, you know, two, three packs a day, he really should not be alive. And I keep telling him that. You know, Dad, God is going to only give you so many chances. So just keep praying.
Okay, pray for you. Over here to, go ahead, Jess.
I have a neat mother-in-law because she just really trusts in the Lord's leading, and this week she felt compelled to share with Grandpa Osmus Four Spiritual Laws booklet, but not say anything right away and so forth. You know, she just does only that much and not anymore and doesn't get antsy about it. His heart is softening, but not obedient yet. And they talk the next day. He's very emotional. He's tearful. He knows, he even said, I know this is the truth, but I can't change, was his response. And but though his days are numbered, it looks like he has a few left, and we can just keep praying. And that's really neat, because they were more open there probably than maybe any time in the past. So it's his rejection is something we could be discouraged about, but the fact that he's really grappling with the fact that that's truth says something.
We do not forget to pray for both Grandma and Grandpa. Back to Pearl right behind you, if you will, please.
I would like continued prayer for Desi, of course, but also the family is, they don't seem to communicate too well with the grandmother. And the grandmother has quite a load to carry. She's taking care of the other children, and they just don't seem to communicate with her very well. And I'd like to have prayer for that. Her name is Angela.
Now that's Desi's grandmother.
Yes. And also I would like continued prayer for Tom, my son. His last day on this present job is Friday. And he's waiting for the Lord to direct him in where he wants them to be.
So no word yet, huh?
Nothing yet.
No word yet.
No, so. But he said, he said, Mother, I guess it's time to stop talking about faith now and stepping out in it. So.
But doesn't it do a lot for your heart?
Oh, yes. Huh? It really
When you
does.
Watch them at this stage in life, being willing to trust God that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
He said, it's hard, but I know the Lord will do it.
Praise God. This is good. Yes, up here to Doug, if you will, please.
I know you don't mention much about your family members, but I'm compelled that we would pray for Stephen, and I know you do, but I think all of us need to understand a little bit more about what's going on in his life. He is a very busy man. He's very involved in ministry, and most of us don't even see all of what he's doing. Tuesday night, he's ministering with a basic Bible doctrines class. Thursday, he does visitation, and he has a constant ministry of the college, and I believe they're coming back today from the weekend.
They came back this afternoon, yeah.
Okay. And his schooling is extremely demanding right now, and also just the work that he has to do takes him well into the night. I talk to him on Thursday sometimes, and oftentimes he will not have slept that last night and the night before that. He maybe had 2 or 3 hours of sleep and the night before that, an hour or two. So he is just under some tremendous pressure, and we need all to be praying for him.
And then you see what's happening. He and Steve Todd and Doug all have to give a report on Thursday in my class. That's the shame. On one side you pray, on the other side you persecute. What do you do about that? But anyhow, you're on.
There's a couple families that we've been ministering to. Their marriages are just falling apart. And we would like to have wisdom to know how to... They're both Christians. They to be Christians, and yet there just seems to be a real hardness and in both sides of both of these families, and that it looks like they're falling apart, and there's a lot of children involved in both families, and so we'd like to be constantly lifting them up and having wisdom to know how much time to spend with them, because it's pretty draining, and how much involvement that we should have. Just have wisdom for that.
will do. John and Alice, the ministry with other people, and it's just, would you need to be much in prayer? That's a tough one. You're dealing with marital problems because it can take so much time. And okay. This is good. Will you stand with me while I close in prayer this evening? And you know, this week, look around you. I need your prayers. Others need your prayers. We need to pray for each other. Just need to pray for each other. Cheryl, as we go from here tonight, we covenant to pray with you and for you, okay? We do. And just trust God for his sufficiency for you. And we know that when all else fails, he never fails you, and he will not. For all of us here, we just have to pray. Pray if you can this week as you determine what to do. Let's stand in prayer. Again, Father, there are a lot of these requests, and we take them with us, but we take with us a burdened heart for each other. I know earlier when Jim shared about the praise for his daughter, there's also the prayer for her, for strength for her, for wisdom for her, and God, for all of our children. The burden we all have that we can do so much in pouring our lives into them, but then from that point on, only you, through the Holy Spirit, can do the work that we cannot again hope to do. Pray for each of our children. Ask for your special protection upon them this evening. And I think of Pearl as she talks about Tom this far along in life, and yet with that simple faith in you, and I just thank you for that which she's built into his life, which she sees now coming back after these many years. And our Father, we've got loved ones who are in need of you, and our Father, real concern for this Thanksgiving trip, for the Christmas trip, for many other contacts that some of us will be having with unsaved loved ones, for the ongoing requests for Kim and her home. We're burdened, our Father, and we're at a point where we know that we can't do it, only you can. But we can pray, and we do. Our Father, for all those under great pressure, and there are many, and I know as Doug shares with regard to Steve, there's great pressure for him and for Sherry. There's for each of these fellows, and I just think of, again, Lance and Tanya this evening. Steve and Leslie, Tom and Julia, we just think of so many others, and our Father, don't want to leave anybody out, but I pray for all of them, especially those who are married as they go through this time with just a lot of the pressures they have, and those who are not as well. Pray for your special strength for them, upgirding for them. I thank you for the ministry they do, and as Louis and Vanessa have left us, we thank you for people like that who serve so faithfully. Nobody knows. A few people know what they're doing, know the impact of their life, and yet our Father makes such an impact on ministering the lives of people and discipling and go unnoticed, and yet our Father are faithful to you. And we thank you for them. We need you, our Father. We need your strength. Cheryl needs your strength, and we stand with her this evening. Feel helpless, and yet our Father, we thank you that our confidence is in you, so we pray for your special hand upon her life even tonight. Give her wisdom, give her strength, give her insight into yourself and the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We love you. We long to obey you in everything that we do. And with that in our hearts, we leave here this evening, trusting in your power to work through us to accomplish your will. And we ask this all in your Son's name, our Savior.